Oh gosh. Oh geez. I was listening to Coast AM with Art Bell one time back in the day. I don't know if anyone else was a fan of that show. And he had like a UFO guy on. And the thing is, Art Bell saw a UFO, right, one time, which is an unidentified flying object. And the thing is, what Art Bell was saying was, man, there was one day I was walking down the road, driving, whatever, and I saw some shit in the sky that my brain could not fully interpret. Right? Like I saw a thing and it didn't fit into any of my current understandings of reality, right? Or that's how a rational person is going to interpret something like that. But what he said was, is what I can't get away from is that in that moment I did not know what I saw. I still don't know what I saw, and I had that experience. And so now I have to incorporate the existence of things I don't understand into my understanding of reality, right? And I'm kind of one of those people too, right? I've had a mystical experience or two in my day. And that's why, Patrick, no offense, I never fully understand atheists. I'm like, what? Nothing ever happened to you that you can't explain? You know? And so, anyways, I had one of these experiences once upon a time, I don't know how many years ago, five, six, seven, in a town called Crestone, Colorado, right? And now when you drive into Crestone, it's kind of like, it might as well be like billboards of like, come here for a mystical spiritual experience, you know? Like it's their thing. It's like a special, it's a spiritual vortex, they say, you know? And anyways, I go to this charming, tiny hippie town in the Sangre de Christos Mountains. I don't mean to minimize this town. I mean, and I like this town, you know? I like tiny little mountain towns, you know? What kind of fascist wouldn't like a tiny little mountain town? And anyways, and I have a vegetarian burrito. Hang out with my mom for a while, and I ask people, I'm there with my mom, she lives in the area, and I ask people, what the fuck is a spiritual vortex, right? I don't say the fuck, but I say, what's a spiritual vortex? And they say really things that really piss me off, like, well, if you're in tune to the universe, you can feel it, you know? Anyways, I mean, I got an open perspective on many things, but this particular day I was like, what a load of shit. I mean, like, the mountains are beautiful and this is really nice, but I don't believe this, right? But there is one answer that I do kind of like that somebody gives me, and they say, look, Crestone will pull out your demons, and some people like it, and some people don't. Okay? Anyways, I drive back to my mom's house. Her and I have a fight, as children of adult divorce often do, you know, but still love my mom very much. And anyways, we do have a crazy fight, and I go home and I go to sleep, and I proceed to have a dream, and this is what I can't get away from, that was realer than it is right now for me. Like, this dream felt like a more intense and primal reality than the reality I exist every day, in every day. Now, I don't know if this is true or false or whatever, but I had an extremely intense dream involving sabotage, healing, and then some kind of revenge, you know? I mean, and it was quite powerful. I'll spare you the details, even though I could spit them out quite rapidly. It was like living some kind of bizarre action movie, a little bit like Die Hard. It definitely involved pulling pieces of broken glass out of my body. And then at the end, I knew that I was going to burn the locations of my sabotage to the ground, right? Which was kind of frightening, but it was a dream, and I'm not an arson on any level, though I do like fires. Who doesn't love a campfire? I'm not an arson on any level, but anyways, this dream is a powerful experience. And so sometimes throughout my life, when I get drunk and people are like, why do you live in this town? Or why do you do what you do? Why are you here? Why am I here? I'm like, well, I'm here because I'm following this dream that I had in the mountains of Colorado. And like I said, I mean, I made my series of rational choices along the way. I mean, I live in Minneapolis because I knew people here who gave me a professional opportunity and, you know, et cetera. But every once in a while, I think about the touch points of this dream and always wonder, like, when am I going to get to the metaphorical part of my life where I burn my places of sabotage to the ground, you know? Or anyways, this is what I think. So a couple years back, when I was between jobs, I had a good friend who was a fabricator ask me and another friend of his to come help him build a giant fireplace, right? And this fireplace coincidentally was in one of the nicest lots in Minneapolis on the top of a very high hill, and it was a very tall fireplace. And I mean, it was funny. Really, my only ability was to complain about how heavy shit was, get people coffee, make dick jokes, you know? I mean, that's what I do. That's the Dave Good professional experience. But anyways, I do legitimately help lift this incredibly heavy steel and, you know, build this fireplace. And it's one of those days where it's warm and then it starts to snow, those big giant flakes that like stick to the ground momentarily. And so you can be outside. And I mean, it was beautiful. And we listened to Philip Glass. We listened to nothing but Philip Glass while building this fireplace. And again, you know, I was like, I don't know what this means, but I feel like this means something. Okay. So anyways, like a couple of weeks ago, again, I mean, I'm continuing to think, am I following this dream? And am I going to burn my places of sabotage to the ground? And getting excited because it is 2013, and 13 is unlucky because in numerology, it signifies like a total like phoenix burnt to ashes and renewal, you know, like that's how it became known as unlucky. Anyway, so I'm excited it being kind of like a phoenix kind of year, and I got this phoenix kind of dream. And anyways, well, my friends who I helped build the fireplace, Forrest and Peter, like went on to become the assistants of this, you know, somewhat famous artist who lives in St. Paul. And then just recently, the two of them built the recreation, or helped. I mean, there's photographs on the news about this event, including the goddamn New York Times, where they recreate this like piece of architecture in the middle of downtown St. Paul, and then they burn it to the ground at 2 a.m, right? So 2 weeks ago, I'm in downtown St. Paul with my German friend and a college professor with the two Germans at an art thing, and I'm watching this building burn down. They burn this building to the ground, you know, and it is visually impressive. And I'm thinking about my vision quest and how I know these guys, fucking Peter and Forrest, helped me move. I'm like, what does this mean that the guys that helped me move were, you know, built this amazing thing and then burned it, you know? Well, this is what I think, right? Because the thing about a vision is you don't fully understand it. You know, I guess if it's a real experience, it should be something that I feel like is being revealed to you rather than you like manifesting it, you know? And so maybe it's not about burning my places of sabotage to the ground, you know? Maybe it means that if I don't get myself back in the artistic creative game, I'm gonna stand on the fucking sidelines, you know? Here it is, the visual manifestation of my vision quest. And yes, I know these guys, and yes, I'm somewhat a part of it in terms of like, I'm friends with them and we talk about ideas together, but I'm very much standing on the sidelines. And so, I mean, that's what I can do no longer. I can't continue to stand on the sidelines. I have to, you know, for better or worse, get my creative self out there. This is going to be season 2. I mean, I think I've got better ideas about how to succinctly tell you stories. I hope you get that story about the vision quest and it's interesting to you. I mean, I hope that, you know, you realize that the universe is not fully understood. You know, no one is sitting here being like, oh, I completely understand what's going on. And I kind of think if nothing mysterious ever happens to you, you're not really looking hard enough, you know? Or you're not like digging into life to where you get to a point of like, what the fuck is going on? Why is this dream so real? I went back to Crestone a couple more times. One time I had a dream, and then one time I had no dream whatsoever, which I think is appropriate because it's not meant to be understood. But the second dream was pretty good. It involved buying bread in Italy with my grandfather, and I liked it. And then I went to fucking Italy. I do my one-man show, right? It's a menu of stories, and you can just select from the menu. I'll tell you stories, jokes, anecdotes, or give you advice, right? I do it for tips. And I've done this story for a year, and I've done this show for a year, right? In an art gallery space, like with just a little stand and me sitting in a chair, and it's like an open studio tour that happens every Thursday, you know? So it's not a lot of people, but after doing it a year, I've like figured out some patterns, you know, and one of them is that the show doesn't really start until an hour before the event is over, right? Because that's my prime time. The design behind my show is that I've often gone to art events, right? And it can be a very intense social atmosphere. And then I get drunk and then I'm struck with this like intense loneliness amongst the masses. I think there's a word for that in some Woody Allen movie, I'm sure. But like this feeling where you're surrounded by people, but you're alone. And so my show is there to alleviate that. Four tips. You know, anyways, and thing is, there's like a kind of specific demographic that like came to see my show. I mean, I just have to say, I was trying to be so open and do a show for everyone, right? I mean, I'm always trying to do that. I'm trying to do things for everyone. And, but there's two kind of specific people who come to see my show, you know. One is, I definitely figured out a way to get a date that's almost as good as the internet, you know? If anyone at that art event is interested in me, when they get drunk an hour before the show is when they're going to come over and talk, you know? And I mean, it's been cool. If you greet a stranger with like openness and compassion, like things can happen anyways. And then, you know, maybe they think that I love them, and I do love them as much as I love everyone in that moment, you know? So anyways, that, and then the other thing is that highly educated women in their 50s, you know, and again, everyone's coming to see my show. Most people like it. Some people don't. It's a show, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, it's, and I find myself talking to these women in their 50s and 60s who are very accomplished, and they're drinking wine, and they, anyways, I realized I kind of did a show for my mom, you know? My mom is like a very intelligent wine drinker. And I was trying to definitely not do a show for any one single member of my fucking family. I was trying to do a show for everybody, you know? Because I think that's the mistake most artists make, is they do shit for their fucking grandpa or about their grandpa or, you know? But I don't know. I mean, not specifically for them. So, anyways, I mean, like the resolution that I got from that is, and a lot of this is about, I've been reading about the economy and wealth and ilth, and I'm just fascinated by why people do what they do. You know, an economist think more or less that people make rational decisions based on their interests, you know? And I just kind of feel like everybody's trying to make something, someone proud of them, someone to, trying to keep someone in love with them, you know? And doing that in the way that's appropriate with their culture, you know? But I don't, you know, it's a bizarre cultural approval hierarchy, you know? Not really people doing what they rationally think is the best thing to do. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what I think. I'm not going to put that on my cover letter next week when I start pushing my resume, because anyone who has this kind of philosophy is probably going to be broke most of the time. But hey, more to come, video components, more writing. You know, maybe I'll get a little money behind this thing and see what we can all do together. I don't know why I'm making the clicking noises, but it seems to be, I don't know, maybe that's my signature.
You've been listening to The Dave Good Show.